I have no confidence in saying Swipe is your 2016 Kentucky Derby winner. That the thought of that just makes me like, I can't.
But do you really have confidence in any of saying that right now?
Well, it's a good segue to our next horse.
Conquest Big E.
Two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared, who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What is up? I'm Jared Welch. He is Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. What's up, dude?
Hey, I'm back. You know, I was out of state yesterday.
You were out of state yesterday?
Out of state yesterday. Do you know what state I was in?
No.
Arkansas.
Why were you in Arkansas?
You don't know why?
You don't tell me these things.
I applied for the track announcer job at Oakland Park. Yeah, and yesterday was my audition.
So you showed up in person.
Yep. I wore sweatpants and a hoodie, though I didn't dress up. But I slapped my resume on the desk, and I'm in.
So how'd it go?
Well, they were really impressed, so they said, hey, you know, let's call a race. Call a race for me. So it was kind of cool.
Did you sit in the box and everything?
Yeah, you sit in the box and act like, you know, I was looking through the binoculars, acting like I was calling a race. Yeah, it was pretty good. I made it up, actually, as they were, yeah.
So, well, yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? The whole, you know, Frank is leaving, you know, going on to, you know, California now. So, I mean, props to him. Congratulations. But, you know, we just were getting used to him, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird. We had Terry Wallace for so long, and then we had Frank, and he did a really good job filling those shoes. We just had him for a couple of years, and I think everybody kind of knew that was his – his dream job was Oaklawn Park or Santa Anita.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, I don't know. I don't know who we're going to get. It's up in the air.
It seems like we've been doing our best trying to get a few others in there, but it's kind of on the down low. You know, no one really knows.
You know, Dale Day or Don Stevens, that was the two. We've really tried for Don Stevens on Twitter and stuff because he's very active on Twitter. We knew we could kind of get that going. But Dale Day from Remington Park would be good too. I doubt we get either one of them, but those would be our top two choices. But we'll see. That's a coveted job, you would think.
All right. What was the best thing you saw today?
Best thing I saw today, Oaklawn Park related as well. Timed workouts are back at Oaklawn Park. They actually started yesterday. They had more today. It's great. Over 500 horses, you know, on the grounds right now at Oaklawn. Timed workouts are back. I look at them every day when the season's getting, you know, for this off season to see, okay, who's shown up, who's there, what trainers are working out. Donnie K. Von Hemel had a bunch workout, and that was exciting. Rod Moquette had a bunch. So, yeah, timed workouts are back.
You know, it's kind of a weird, you know, because for us, everyone else, Oakland starts in January. That's what we think. But for these guys, Oakland's already started. I mean, they're already at the track. I mean, yeah, you have Remington finishing up, but you have everyone at the track starting to train. You know, it's like Oakland's here for them. So that's exciting. To me, my best thing I saw today is also about Oakland.
Okay.
And it was our buddy Jeremy Stone sent me an article that he's writing, and I proofed it and looked over it. It was really good. It was all about Oakland.
Great.
And so it's got me more pumped. So I can't wait.
This is great. I mean, Jeremy Stone, the writer, you know, he's the wizard. He's the owner.
Allegedly, he's the wizard.
I think he's the wizard. He's the owner. I don't even know what the guy does for a living. I think he gambles for a living. So he's a professional gambler. I mean, he sleeps in the Oakland barns during the meet. I mean, this guy does everything. Now he's a writer.
Now he's a writer. Wow. So I don't know what he's going to do. You know, where does he type it? Is it all handwritten?
He has a wand that he just waves. Yeah. And it gets on a paper or computer, whatever he's doing, whatever he chooses.
Yeah.
to do.
Well, either way, Oakland is almost here. To us, the best thing we saw today is all Oakland related.
Yes.
Let's turn this a little bit. Last week, when we did the podcast, we recorded it literally the day before the news came out. And a lot of the podcasts last week involved shared belief and how excited we were for him to return. You know, we both had him projected as Horse of the Year this coming year. Well, the next day, we find out that he unfortunately had passed away due to colic. And just, I don't think any of us still have really quite believed what's happened. I mean, I still can't comprehend that.
It's hard for that to sink in. You know, sometimes, and this is might be kind of brutal to say, but if a horse breaks down on the track, you see it happen. But you just hear, and this is a horse we haven't seen in months, hey, he had colic and he passed away. It's just like, wow, I can't even, you know, just you can't even believe it. It's just stunned.
Well, I had that feeling, you know, it's just like, it wasn't like they rushed him, or he'd gone to the hospital, you know, the vet or whatever, and had been there for a while, was fighting it, and lost.
Yeah.
It was just like, boom, he's fine, he trained, he's healthy, boom, he has colic, boom, he's dead. I mean, that sounds brutal, but that's how sudden it was, and that's why I read it. I had a lot of things going on that day, and I saw it, and I was like, didn't have really time to research it, and I was like, that can't be, that's not true. It cannot be true.
The way they described it just that morning, he was a little colicky, and so they said, well, let's take him, and then boom. I mean, it just shows you how precious they are, and at any time, they can be taken away. And it's just, you know, who could have foreseen that in a million years, you know? It was unbelievable. So I just sunk when I heard the news. And you know, what a horse. He always is going to be kind of a what-if type of horse because of the injuries and things. And then obviously this is just awful. But what a career he had anyway. Yeah. 10 for 12.
We just read an article, wrote an article on the website, racingdudes.com. Make sure you check that out. Really good article. Included a video on there that we didn't do, but found someone had put together all 10 of his wins, which was pretty neat to look at.
Yeah, it was. And you know, you forget just, man, how good he was when he was on. Holy cow, that Pacific Classic was unbelievable. And then the San Antonio, when he beat California Chrome, that race was such a great race. So much hype. And for him to put him away with ease under a hand ride, that just shows you how great that horse was, that he could do that to a horse that was only a couple of lengths away from winning a Triple Crown.
It's ever seemed like we had a situation here, like where a horse, you almost feel like, oh, he had so much potential is what you feel like. But it's like, dude, the guy won. How many grade ones?
Yeah.
He was 10 for 12 lifetime. He was, you know, he had all these honors.
Yeah.
And it's like, but yet you still find yourself saying, oh, wow, he had such a high ceiling. Hadn't reached it.
Yeah. And Ed DeRosa actually made a really good point on Twitter. He read the article and tweeted out to us. He goes, well, he did win a grade one at age 2, 3, and 4. And he's a dual grade one winner on different surfaces, on synthetic and on dirt. He goes, so, I mean, really, yeah, okay, he is a what if, but at the same time, he's a Hall of Famer. Probably, I mean, you look at that resume, he's going into the Hall of Fame. This was a great horse that maybe could have pushed it to a level, maybe not as high as American Pharoah, because American Pharoah won the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup, and it's just huge, but you know, maybe just below that level. Maybe he would have been that. But again, he accomplished a hell of a lot. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's going to be sadly missed.
The last thing, the most amazing thing I think about his career is that, and I don't even know, I can't even think off the top of my head who had him before, but how it came about.
Yeah.
That he had entered in a race where Holdorfer had a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he blew by Holdorfer's horse, killed him.
Yeah.
You know, and immediately said, we have to buy this horse. Jungle Racing, you know, Rome, everyone knows who he is, stepped up, purchased the horse, and the rest is history. So that, you know, it's just, they knew immediately this is a really talented horse, and he proved it for his career. So.
Yeah, yeah, and give Jerry Hollendorfer a lot of credit. He had a horse in that main race that he really liked, and when he saw that horse, So just shows you, too, horses, great horses can pop up anywhere. Golden Gate, Shared Belief, he wasn't trained by Hollendorfer at the time he came in.
Yeah.
You know, if he's trained by Hollendorfer, you say, okay, I can believe it. Hollendorfer runs a ton of horses there.
Somebody.
Yeah, just some trainer throws him in there, and he's one of the best horses in the last 15 years. Yeah. So, unreal.
The other sad note of this week, we promise we'll pick up. It'll be a little better coming up. But Totalist, thankfully, fine, healthy, nothing, no issues there. Just found out after we believe, and it's been said, he's coming back for 2016. Not so much. He's retired.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad to see him retire. But like you said, happy, healthy, stud career.
And he went out on top.
I will never forget Tonalist for winning the Belmont at 9-1 when we had him picked on the website. That was a huge moment in my handicapping career.
And not
career.
Just that, but what did you do? You upset. You picked against what was very...
The Triple Crown.
Everyone believed.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest moments of my handicapping career. At the time California Chrome was running, I was rooting for him to win the Triple Crown, but I didn't go that route, and I picked Tonalist. But after, like, 5 minutes after the race, you sit down and you realize, thank God Tonalist beat him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And now two other horses finished ahead of him too, but thank God California Chrome didn't win the race. My apologies to Art Sherman and the horse California Chrome. I have no problem with them, but that owner, Steve Coburn, being a Triple Crown winning owner, would have been sickening.
Not to go off on a tangent here, but if you believe in horse racing, just the horse racing gods, they said, you know what, you idiot, we're going to prove to you that this can happen.
Yeah.
Very next year, American Pharoah emerges and rest is history.
Right. It's like, A, we're not letting you win it because we know what you are. These people don't know, but they're going to find out. Well, we know who you are, and then B, we're going to prove that it can happen. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, best of luck to Tonalist. I'm sure, you know, well, he'll one day have some kids.
He'll have some great sire. He'll be a great sire.
He will be a great sire, mm-hmm. You would think. But, yeah, sad news for all around. But you know what? That's the game. It's such a fickle game. It's got the highs are high and the lows are super low, and you just, that's part of it.
Yep.
On today's show, we preview the two major two-year-old stakes races of the weekend, give rapid-fire selections, and break down more contenders in Pool 1. Of the Kentucky Derby Future Wager. Let's go! Stakes previews. We haven't done this in a while. It seems like the racing's been so light that we haven't had the opportunity to really preview some stakes. I mean, actual previews, not rapid fire or anything. So we got a few to talk about.
Yeah,
2-year-old racing as well.
It's really, really nice to actually have a race worth mentioning on the podcast again.
Yeah.
And hopefully it just gets better and better from here. We've got... This week, next week, Los Alamitos has some nice racing. And then finally, Santa Anita opens up with a big after Christmas, you know, 26th,
oh,
December 26th, great racing.
It gets real good.
Yeah.
All right, let's start at Los Al here. Los Alamitos, of course, on Saturday. Race 8 on the program, the Starlet Stakes. It's grade 1, worth $300K for Philly's 2-year-olds. Going a mile, 1/16th. Field of 9 shows up for this one, and really not a huge standout favorite here. The 4, Pacific Heat, 3-1 morning line, is actually your morning line favorite. Holdorfer's got one. The 3 horse stays in Vegas at 7-2, close second favorite. But Field of 9, and then really you go from that to all the way up to 15-1, but you've only got a couple that are double-digit odds.
Yeah, you can't really throw out many in here. I threw out the 5, the 6, and the 8. It's kind of funny. I did this. I wrote a preview for this race last night.
Is it on
racingdudes.com.
I wasn't sure if you put it on ours or someone else's.
Well, usually the good ones are on somebody else's, so I put this one on ours. But I wrote the preview for this, and of course the odds weren't out last night, and I went against everything I usually do. I usually, in races like this, stick with Baffert or Hollendorfer. You know, just because they usually win all the graded races in California. But I took a stand against. I went with number 4, Pacific Heat. This horse kind of reminded me a little bit of like a California Chrome type, where, yes, it is a California bred, but she's dominating California bred races.
Right.
So maybe she can be like California Chrome, open company, not going to matter. She's just that good. But I really thought this horse would be 5-6-1. I really did, because I thought, you know, Hollendorfer, my second choice, stays in Vegas. You know, pretty decent class. I was thinking, yeah, she had ran on the turf a couple times, but her dirt form's pretty good. Was only beaten 12 lengths by Songbird, which, that's not terrible. So I kind of
we're at that stage.
I mean, really, but now. I mean, this is a songbirdless race, and when you're getting that for fillies in California, that's gonna be you're gonna have to find, hey, horses who got beat by her. So anyway, I thought she would maybe be the favorite. I thought Pretty and Cool might be the favorite. You know, the classiest horse of the bunch. Right. Can't she go two turns? I don't really think so, but she's 5-1. But yeah, Pacific Heat, the favorite. I was shocked by that, but that's what I landed on. I did go Stay in Vegas second. I actually like Baffert's quote unquote other entry, Treasuring, third at 6-1. I just think that the stretch out is going to suit her a little bit better than Pretty and Cool.
Yeah, so, it kind of has that feeling where it's like everyone's going to be looking at Pretty and Cool as Bob Baffert, and really he's got the other one in there that might be a little bit better at this distance. You know, you made a good point. I think it's, you know, it's always good. We tell people, handicap, cover the odds if they're out, or do it before, like you say. So you handicap the race. Now, sometimes, like this time, it turned out to not work in your favor. You thought you were going to get a price. You didn't. But
well, other I thought 5-1, at least.
But other times, you might do it and think, this is a favorite. This is going to be the best horse, and it's 10-1. You're like, hello. You know, like, that's great. So that's
I feel something coming.
Because whenever you when you start doing it that way, you say, you kind of, you like, you think, well, I can't pick this one because it's 20-1. It kind of makes you not pick it whenever, if you didn't know the odds.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my next point. I landed on a horse here. Number 7, 15-1 morning line. Your highest shot on the board, Mama Sugar, Peter Miller trained, looking at Lucky Philly here, 1-for-1 lifetime, winning 6.25 the last time out at Del Mar, going 6.5 in a classy 1-16. Super impressive. Did it like incredibly workmanlike for the first time out. Now goes a little bit further. Look at Lucky Philly. You know, I mean, what issue is there? You know, the final time, to me, not just the speed numbers, which are very comparable, but you look at the time, 1 minute and 16 seconds, You look at some of these other ones in here who had actually ran at 6.5, and it's just as good or better, and we're talking at Del Mar. Now, I realize it's hard to compare different days, but it's the best we got. 15-1, I don't see that being the price. I bet she's bet down. But workouts look good. 7-47 last time. I was in love. When I saw the morning line for this, I was just so amazed. I cannot wait to play this horse. Number 7, Mama Sugar for me.
Well, you know, it's funny because I did not look at this morning line until 5 seconds before we started previewing the race, because I didn't have to look at this race all day today because I had done it last night.
Right.
So some of the races we're covering, yeah, I was looking at it today, but I didn't even look at this. And I thought, you know, I didn't even think to even look at the morning line. I look at it and I'm like, Mama Sugar, 15-1? I think she's the fourth choice. I mean, she was my fourth choice. And I wrote on the website, I put her as a party crasher, which means, usually what that means is, if you want to play a win wager, a small win wager on somebody, do it, and don't leave the horse out of a pick 4, pick 6, pick 3. Maybe don't put her in an exacta where she has to do this or that, but small win wagers, you know, multi-races, that kind of thing. But I wrote on there, she could be any kind. She could be a freak. It's possible. She also could have caught a maiden field that wasn't the greatest and just kind of had things her own way. Though that's very possible too.
Right.
But 15-1 is crazy.
Let me just real quickly, back in August, you know, the track could have been playing different when it Pretty and Cool won a grade 2 there at Del Mar, the 6.5 furlongs. You know, whenever Mama Sugar ran, it was November. So, you know, the track could have played different.
Absolutely.
Same exact time. And Pretty and Cool did won a grade 2 at that time.
Right.
Just saying, even if it's a little different, it's still, she's in the ballpark. Yeah. You know, she definitely deserves a shot here at 15-1. Hello. I'm all about playing prices, and that right there definitely stands out. Now, is there a horse here? Because if you remember, I know you remember quite well, this was part of the path that created Take Charge Brandy, 2-year-old filly of the year.
Yeah.
This is when she started her roar, you know, she's flying, you know, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is there another horse in here that could potentially be that horse next year? You know, because she was obviously, unfortunately, injury got to her.
Yeah.
But, boy, if she hyped up to be a really good 3-year-old filly.
Yeah.
She won this race wire to wire, which we know Los Al, wire to wire, is definitely helpful.
Long stretch.
Do you see one in here?
No.
So you don't see that at all?
Can any of these horses run within 10 lengths of Songbird?
Well, no.
And where are these horses located at? California. So, I mean, how can they win a race that that horse is going to
Oakland?
I mean, this is true. And honestly, two or three of these horses, if they run and they run very well, get their asses out of California and try to win races leading up to the Kentucky Oaks.
Right.
But do I see a potential superstar in this field? Not regarding Songbird, no, not really. Pacific Heat could be.
But if you're Bob Baffert, and you, I mean, this is a guy that we know ships, and he ships all the time.
They have
and
to come.
He ships to Oakland all the time.
They have to come to Oakland.
You find that filly, and you just say, continually, you're going. Yeah. You're going every time.
Name a filly that's pointing for Oakland right now that said, ooh, she looks pretty good. There aren't many. Now, there's some colts that we're going to get into later, but the fillies?
There's not.
Treasuring, if Treasuring finished second here, she could probably go sweep the Oakland division.
She certainly would have a shot, and it's Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
So, you know, Wolfman Rocket won at Oakland, so.
This is true. It's very, very true.
All right.
Something was fishy that day, folks.
All right, so Aaron goes with Pacific Heat, the four horse. I went with 7, Mama's Sugar. Good luck. All right, let's go to Remington Park. Sunday, closing day of Remington Park this Sunday. And, man, the weather here in Midwest, where normally you think closing day, December in the Midwest, is going to be freezing cold. I believe last time I looked, it's going to be around 70 degrees Sunday.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, it's funny. One of my all-time favorite springboard miles was when Texas Bling at 99-1 beat Will Take Charge. And I can remember watching the feed, and it looked like it was 15 degrees. I mean, everybody was just like bundled up. But yeah, on Sunday, heck, you can wear shorts to Remington Park.
No doubt.
It's just beautiful weather. We've gotten very lucky. Man, I hope it holds off for through the winter for Oakland. But always a great, maybe not a great race, but just a lot of fun and a great field. You usually get a prize, springboard mile. Always exciting.
Yeah, race 10 on the program Sunday at Remington, the Springboard Mile Stakes. It's worth $250K for two-year-olds going a mile. And this is, you know, we talk about it obviously because it's Remington Park and it's the big culmination of the two-year-old meet for the boys, but also because this is kind of stepping us into Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of these here and ones that aren't running in this race that have run at Remington will be at Oakland. So it kind of sets the stage for what we're going to be seeing really for the next couple months. Fill of 12 here, and it's as you call it, a grab bag of fun, you know. It's just you got about 1,000 different ways here.
Yeah, you're using my lines now. Look at that.
Fill of 12 going a mile of two-year-old boy racing. So what do you got? 5-2 on the morning line favorite, by the way. Esposito. Tom Proctor and Van Dyke riding, but past that, I mean, yeah, sudden breaking news at 3-1, Donnie and Luke Q. So, yeah, what are you thinking here?
Hard to me for go to, geez, listen to me, I can't even talk. It's hard for me to go against Donnie K in this race. Sudden breaking news looked very, very good last time out, winning the Clever Trevor, which was the prep for this race. I'm going with him. I'm going sudden breaking news. I do like Esposito, but I don't like shippers in this race. They just usually don't run that well.
Yeah.
So I don't like favorites in this race really either. A couple that caught my eye because I started looking at prices. The 5-horse Blue Wings at 12-1. Julian Leperoux comes in to ride.
I mean,
if that's not an eye opener, I don't know what is.
To me, I think it's a lot to do with the, you know, the owner trainer combo that, you know, people mm-hmm. not really don't know. But you know, both of Churchill last time figured it out, looked like,
and ran really well.
And like you say, you know, he comes in and out Giants Causeway. This actually, I'll talk about it in a second when I make my pick, but I did all this without odds again, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. And this time it kind of bit me where, you know, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
Right.
But Blue Wings I looked at, and that was one of my contenders.
Yeah. And he's me too. So sudden breaking news, Blue Wings, Uncle Brenny, 10-1, Brad Cox, it's hard to say, you know, well, let's just throw this one out. Brad Cox at 10-1, Stanton Fleury, a guy that, an owner we really like. So hopefully Uncle Brenny can kind of run well here. I'm not totally confident, but at 10-1, I think maybe worth a little bit of a shot. And then maybe a sentimental play here, but number 9, Better Than Magic, Brett Calhoun. And Calhoun knows how to win at this track with two-year-olds. He won the trapeze last year, and he also had the second place finisher in the trapeze. So, mm-hmm. But more importantly, This will be Cliff Berry's last ride ever.
Yeah, this is it.
He is retiring right after the Remington Park meet. This is the last race at Remington Park. This is it for Cliff Berry.
It'd be pretty something cool if he did that.
It would be amazing, and he already won the Oklahoma Derby with Shotgun Cowboy, so how cool would it be for his last year to win the Oklahoma Derby and then the Springboard Mile? It'd be great. So that's the four I went with.
With Oklahoma bread and then a Texas bread.
That's right.
totally expected. Actually, you know, like I mentioned a second ago, I did this without odds. And I landed on the ones that you said you did not like, and that's a favorite, and a shipper. And that was the number two horse, Esposito, Tom Proctor horse here, which you'll find out as we go through the podcast tonight. Might be a little bit of a trend, Tom Proctor. But with this one, I feel like it's classy, the shipping here. You look at the past performances, come from California, field is so wide open. He's out of Ghost Zapper, which, you know, obviously very good. And last time out, won by 2.5 lengths, is super workmanlike. It was very professional. After that first start, it seemed like got the kinks worked out and really needed that race. Came back at Del Mar earlier in November and did it very workmanlike. In two starts, finished third in the debut, like I said, trained by Proctor. Van Dyke into ride, so another good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time trainer jockey there. And I just think the horse is getting better. So that's, you know, the third start. And to me, the horse has been training like a monster. Again, you have that just question mark. How will he ship in? Which you say, you know, doesn't necessarily always turn out well. But to me, for Tom Proctor to say, okay, we're going from Santa Anita, Del Mar, and we're going to go run on the springboard at Remington. He got a few on Sunday that I like, but to me, I'm hard pressed to say he doesn't have a good shot to win. Another horse I wanted to mention that you didn't, the 8 horse Blanket of Ice, kind of a weird pick here. But you look at, we just talked about Blue Wings, Blanket of Ice in one start, only had one start, finished second to Blue Wings in that race.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like Blue Wings, we said first start out, kind of needed it. Next start looked great. Well, why can't Blanket of Ice do that? And if you know anything about Chris Hartman, that guy, he knows how to get a winner there a little bit. In some ways, better than others. You know, we'll just leave it at that. But Vasquez riding, which has had an unbelievable meet. And, you know, with Hartman training. And like I say, if he just does that step up improvement, it wouldn't shock me to see him run really well. So that's one to look out for, I think. But I'm with you on the rest. You know, Battle Tap, Asmussen, I don't necessarily love the horse, but, you know, it's out of, you know, Asmussen, Winchell, Smart Strike, and you got Santana Ride, and all the key pieces there, so it wouldn't totally be shocking to see that horse win as well. But I'm actually going with the shipper here, number two, Esposito. Time for Rapid Fire Selections, brought to you by Simple Plays.
Simple Plays, the tip sheet that pays. For a small price, get in on the gambling craze. When you handicap the races and when you make a wager, the goal every time is to cash in major. But if every time you bet, you see your wallet start thinning, RacingDudes.com has a way to start winning. Simple Plays, tip sheets you can trust. Even experts agree using them is a must. Whether they bet the Preakness or bet an allowance, our Simple Plays tip sheets have made players thousands. You might think they're expensive and don't give a bleep, but that's not the case. They're incredibly cheap. Even Nick Zito had to say neato when he heard about the Racing Dudes tip sheeto. So, you want to start increasing your wealth? Buy Simple Plays. It pays for itself. Simple Plays. The tip sheet you can cash in on. Simple Plays. Now at RacingDudes.com. Simple Plays. Tip sheets that experts.
Gulfstream Park Saturday. You'll start with race 3 on the program. The Rampart Stakes, the grade 3 with 100K for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going 1 mile, field of 8. Who you got?
I'm actually going with a horse that you liked to pick a lot last year. I don't know if you're on her this time, but Danessa Deluxe for me.
I'm not on that horse this year, and it'd probably be the best move you made. She probably is sick of me. And no, I'm going with the horse just to her outside, the 7 horse, the favorite. Best Behavior, John Velasquez, Rowdy Wolfman, trained 5-2. This is a tough race. It really is. It's not the best, greatest stakes race I've ever seen. So I'm going with the cop-out and going with John Velasquez. Race 9, the South Beach Stakes. It's worth 100K. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Fill of 10. What do you think?
You know, I'm going with a horse that at one time at Saratoga, I believe it was maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, cost me a lot of money. But has done very well since that race, actually. And that's number 6, Hope Cross. Finished second in a maiden at Saratoga once, and I had a lot on her. But doing very well since, so I'm going Hope Cross one more time. I pick her about every time she runs after that.
Well, okay. I went with Hope Cross as well. Finished second in a grade 3 last out. Mm-hmm. Going longer on the turf. Shorten her up.
Yeah.
Now you have... I mean, it's not even... It's an ungraded stakes at Gulfstream. Chad Brown. Come on.
She's a very nice horse. I didn't want to like put her in a negative light. No. She just... The one time I really put a lot on her, she cost me.
Which makes me worried now that I just made the same pick as you did.
Well, I won't put a lot on her. I'll just put 20 and she'll win. But you put 200 and she'll lose.
Well, my small amount is 200.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm worried. Race 10, Harlan's Holiday Stakes. It's worth 100K for three-year-olds and up, going to mile 16th. Philip 10. Another one. What do you got?
Well, I'm going with another old friend of mine, Made from Lucky, the four horse. You know what? This is against older horses, yes, but... A class drop for sure. He's ran in some tough races. Last time out at Aqueduct, he ran a pretty solid race, but he ran into a very nice performance from Tommy Macho. I'm not going to call that horse a nice horse yet, but that was a huge performance that the horse had. But Made from Lucky, I think he grinds it out.
Yeah, it won't be pretty. We know that.
No, it won't.
But to me, you know, this horse, I went back and looked. This horse has not had a ungraded stakes. Has not had, actually, for that matter, has not had a non-stakes race since February at Gulfstream of this year. February. Since then, it's been the Rebel, the Arkansas Derby, the Peter Pan, the Belmont, the West Virginia Derby, the Pennsylvania Derby, and the Discovery.
Wow.
This horse has been all over. And by the way, kept facing the American Pharoah, it seemed like. Horse has been put through the ringer, facing Frosted in the Pennsylvania Derby. Finally gets the relief. It's Todd Pletcher. Made from Lucky's got it. Even though it's up against Olders, I'm with you. Definitely deserves this class relief, and I think dominates. Dominates by saying, edges it out and wins. Race 11, the El Prado Stakes, worth 100K for three-year-olds and up, going 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Fiddle of 11, what do you think?
The theme of this has been old friends, and I'm going with another one. Number 11 war correspondent, Christophe Clement on the turf.
I think the theme of this, the last three, has been, let's pick the same. I went with the same here as well. Clement, John Velasquez as well, yeah, on the turf. And another horse that gets some class relief. This horse definitely deserves. He has been running in graded stakes races and running very well in them, and now runs at Gulfstream and ungraded. Draw on the outside doesn't worry me. War correspondent for me. Let's head back to Remington Park on Sunday. Race 2 on the program, 100K, going mile and 70 yards for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Small field here, field to 7. What do you think?
You know, the She's All In. I that was such a nice horse. I'm so glad that they have a race named after her. Especially in Oklahoma, because she never lost in Oklahoma, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
But I could talk about her all day. I went number 4, Diva's Diamond. Finished second in this race last year. A little bit of class relief from what she's been running against. Been facing some tough ones. I think she's good enough to get it done.
Well, I said earlier that Tom Proctor would be a common theme for me, and here we go again. I'm taking Tom Proctor here. Number 7, Savings Account. Really classy horse, at least was supposed to be. Purchased for $310K, hasn't lived up to the hype yet, but has been facing much, much, much more talented fields, including last out third to Beholder. If she can't win here, then I really don't know where to take her. But to me... Tom Proctor, one of these Tom Proctors should win, but Savings Account for me. Race 9, the Trapeze Stakes. It's worth 100K for Philly's 2-year-olds going a mile. The Trapeze, this is fun. Fill a 10.
Yeah, it's just like the springboard. It's a tough race. Now, I do want to mention one thing, a little trivia for all you out there that might be playing trivia tonight. This race produced the Kentucky Oaks winner last year. Did you know that?
Well, I did because we talked about it earlier.
Lovely Maria actually ran in this race last year and finished 4th off the board.
Good win.
And that's kind of a theme at Remington. These horses that don't win these races, they usually go on to be pretty good.
Yeah, name a few we talked about earlier.
Caleb's Posse ran in the springboard. We'll Take Charge. Lovely Maria. There's three right there that went on to do very big things. Caleb's Posse, of course, the Breeders' Cup Mile winner and almost 3-year-old horse of the year.
Should have been.
Lovely Maria. Yeah, very, very good point. Lovely Maria, Kentucky Oaks winner. will take charge. Travers winner and three-year-old horse of the year. So three horses right there. They didn't win these races, but they went on to do big things. So could we see it again? Larry Jones has another one in here. I didn't pick it because, hey, if Lovely Maria can't win.
Yeah, who can?
Yeah, he can't. He can't win this race with anybody, can he? No, that's really probably not true. But I went with Wayne Catalano's entry, Family Tree. Got a little bit of class, ran at some bigger tracks, and looks pretty good. So I'm going to take a shot with Family Tree.
It's not a bad pick. I'll prove that, although I'm not going there. I'll take number 8, Texas Jim, filly out of Tisnow, 1-for-1. Trained by Asmussen, who hits at nearly 20% first his route. I'm going with a 8, Texas Jim. Kentucky Derby future wager pool 1 concluded a couple weeks ago. Final day was on 11/29/15. We talked about it last week. We went over Air Force, More Spirit, Nyquist, Mo Heyman, Flexibility, Gift Box, Brody's Cause, and Unbridled Outlaw. We said we'd mention a few more because guess what? Next week's a big show.
It is.
Not only for the race purposes, but the draft.
The
third annual,
yep,
Racing Dudes Triple Crown draft. So it's a big one.
It's a big week next week.
And I have big shoes to fill this year. How can I pick the next Triple Crown winner is what I'm going to be looking for.
Well, there's not going to be one, so it's going to be tough for you. But, it's you were a dominating winner last year. Well,
thank you, American Pharoah. There's no American Pharoah winner this year. This year's going to be a little tougher.
Yeah.
I think we both will be using those waiver calls, I think. Yes. But we'll get into that next week. This week, we're going to talk about Exaggerator, Swipe, Conquest, Big E, Unexplained, Synchrony, and Greenpoint Crusader. Let's start with Exaggerator, the Delta Downs jackpot winner. This is a horse who had hype winning the Saratoga Special, then the Vicharity finished second, and then went into the Juvenile, and we both kind of thought, even in the Vicharity, I thought, okay, that horse looked like the winner, should have won. I really think this horse has a good chance. Yeah, it was a terrible finish fourth, but still showed, kind of proved us both wrong in the jackpot. We didn't necessarily think this horse was going to be quite good enough. Did it? What do you see this horse moving forward?
I don't know. I have such mixed feelings.
The curling horse, you know, so you got to have a soft spot in your heart for him.
I do, and when he won at Saratoga, I thought, okay, this horse, he was like, at that moment, that's my early Kentucky Derby horse. Now, very early, but still, he should stretch out, but he's got enough speed to win a one-turn race at Saratoga. Yeah. You get excited, and then he runs the Futurity, and he ran a really strange race. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's just first time around two turns, maybe he's just maturing. He kind of ran a clunker, I would say, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah, he never really did anything.
At Delta, nice win, kind of an odd day. The track was really weird.
Wasn't, like, extremely impressive.
It wasn't. I mean, I think they all kind of struggled over that track, though. I could kind of, you know, I kind of forgive him for that, but I don't really know.
He is 25-1 right now, currently on the end of that last future wager. 25-1, if you like him, is a nice price.
It's probably, you know, if you like to play these things, that would probably be worth a shot, because I do think he should get better going longer.
Here's the warning for you, though. Look at the connections.
That is a huge warning and why I would never do
it. Can he even get to the Derby?
I don't think so.
Texas Red. I mean, yeah, we saw that exact thing, same thing happen.
And is this horse as good as Texas Red?
No, probably not.
No, I don't think he is. No,
not at this stage especially. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is one, as good as I just don't see it. I don't see the horse improving enough, and I don't even see him making it into the field with these connections. We've said it all along. We just can't trust these guys. By the way, I drafted Texas Red. So, yeah, that last year, so that was good.
Oh.
But, yeah.
That's great.
So, Exaggerator, we're kind of on the fence there. Let's go to Swipe. Finished second in the Breeders' Cup. Swipe.
Yeah. He's finished second like 100 times to Nyquist. It's so funny when we talk about Swipe, because you're like, Swipe, he is a joke. I don't like him. A lot of people like him, and for this reason, they think, well, when they stretch out past the mile 16th, Swipe is bred to go long, and he's going to pass Nyquist, and he's going to be the best.
4 straight seconds.
All to Nyquist, every one of them.
Yeah.
So, if that is your theory...
3 in a row place in grade 1. I mean, there you go. And Swipe is 18-1, so technically better than Exaggerator right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you hate him. I don't necessarily hate him. But you hate him. Every time you say Swipe. Can you believe Swipe finished second?
I was rooting for my ass off for him, though, because I had him on my pick four that day.
You had Swipe on
there? Well, I had several. Okay. But I played deep in that race.
You wanted the longer price.
And I saw Swipe coming. I was like, yes, do it.
Yeah.
No, didn't do it. But Swipe, again, here we go. DeZormo.
Yeah, so.
Same thing we just talked about. Can he even get there?
I don't know. I have no confidence in saying Swipe is your 2016 Kentucky Derby winner. That the thought of that just makes me like, I can't.
But do you really have confidence in any of saying that right now?
Well, it's a good segue to our next horse.
Conquest Big E, currently 39-1. Is this the one?
I think he's worth a shot. At 39-1, yes. He's got great breeding. He's ran some nice races. He's got a trainer that can win in Kentucky and Mark Cassie. Listen, I'm not saying he's the one. I'm saying I think he's got a chance to improve.
The showing of the Breeders' Cup was not what I would say good.
Yeah, draw a line through that one. But he came back to Churchill and ran really well. Zenyatta John has this horse number one. This is his number one Derby horse right now.
Out of Tappet. Don't know about that one.
I don't know.
Don't know. But, if there's anyone that
can... He's not my number one.
That can get him there, Cassie, he likes to win in Kentucky.
I think this horse is pretty good. I think he's pretty good.
Is he the better of the three we've talked about so far?
I think he's got the most upside.
There you go. 39-1 compared to the other ones. Mm-hmm. If you're talking upside, and maybe not necessarily what has he done to date, then this would be your horse.
But I really want to talk about the next one.
Why do you want to talk about the next one?
Unexplained.
Out of Ghost Zapper is currently...
I don't even think he's on there.
He's actually 3-5 because...
He's the all-other.
So he is a terrible play right now.
Here's my story on Unexplained.
Chris Richard, by the way, who I don't know... I don't think he's ever been accepted to me.
No, he never has. But is he a good trainer?
He's good at certain levels.
But do you not have confidence that he can take this horse? He's never had a horse that could be this level.
Sure. He had... this is totally blanking right now. Who was the horse he turned like a 5,000 claimer into the...
Out of tune. Yeah.
To the end of the year stakes sprint.
But...
Yeah, he can get a horse to run.
Midwest Thoroughbreds has had better horses lately. Obviously, Pizza Man, Work All Week. So they've got, they're not claiming owners anymore. Chris Richard, I think I'm very excited to see what he can do with him. Now, here's a story I've got on him.
Uh-oh.
He broke his maiden the day we were driving home from the Breeders' Cup.
I remember that, yeah.
And I looked at, because I was driving. I can't look at charts and shit. But I saw he won. So I went home and I saw, wow, he won by like 5 or 6 lengths. Now this could be something. I watched the replay and I thought, whoa, he's really good. So next time out, he matches up against Conquest Big E. And, heavily bet Conquest Big E. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to play Unexplained. And he did lose. He did lose. But he was coming at the end. He got second and he was making up ground on Conquest Big E. I think this one may have more upside than anybody we've talked about yet. I'm really excited about him. I think he could make a really really big impact at Oaklawn.
We need to get him. He needs to be a little, just improve a little bit better so we can get him out of the all others. can get him at 30-40-1, that's what I'm talking about.
But right now, if they ran the Smarty Jones the Smarty Jones tomorrow, I think I'd pick him. He looks like he's got talent. He looks like he's got upside. He's by Ghost Zapper, which I don't think like 1/16 is going to be any problem, or a mile. I don't know. I like him. I think he's got a nice turn of foot. I think he's one to watch.
Now, here's one that we might also see face against that horse.
That's right.
And this is a horse that does have quite a price here, and that would be Synchrony at 96-1 right now. He has made the list. Synchrony out of, Pin Oak Stable, of course. We know Pin Oak. Sure. Donnie K trained. Tappets. We know how they run. 2-for-2 now. Last two races. Finished second starting now at maiden. This horse looks pretty good.
This is one we actually literally have inside knowledge on.
Literally, yeah.
I've actually spoken to the trainer and asked him about this horse.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
We were at a wedding, and it was his nephew's wedding, and he was there. And I went up to him, and I said...
What all people would do at a wedding.
Yeah, go up to the guys, they're talking horses. So I go, Donnie, you know, it's not nice to see you, whatever. And I said, what do you think about sudden breaking news? Just because I purposely was saving this one for last. What do you think about sudden breaking news? And if you've ever talked to Donnie, you know he's a man of few words.
Very few.
And he says, oh, we'll see. And I said, okay, what do you think about my master plan? Phillies running in the trapeze. Oh, we'll see. And I said, what do you think about Secrony? And he goes, I think that horse has got a future. Huh. And that to me is the tell. It's the Donnie tell.
Yep.
He didn't say, oh, we'll see. So I think he's really high on this horse. And I think if Donnie's high on the horse, he knows a thing or two about horses. He's had some nice horses in the past. I think he thinks this horse could be a Derby horse. So I think at 96-1, put $2 on it.
Let's say, I mean, Pin Oak, you know, they've had some good horses.
They have.
And Donnie's had a good horse with Pin Oak before.
Alternation, absolutely.
You're damn right.
Donnie actually has Alternation's a full brother, too, a 2-year-old unraced.
I saw that.
Did you? Oh, yeah, on Twitter.
On Twitter. Yeah. What's his name? Was at Oakland taking pictures of the horses.
Robert Yates.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that.
So, Donnie's... the thing about Donnie K, he has... like a billion 2-year-olds this year. He's got a ton of them.
If there's a year that we get, you know, because we had Donnie, and it's like when we first got in the racing, and we had Alternation, we had Caleb, you know, Donnie was, you know, he was like one of the high. Since then, he's kind of slowed down. You know, he's done well at like Remington and things like that, but. He hasn't had that big one.
Mm-hmm.
We could be having one here pretty soon, which is exciting.
Although Gold Medal Dancer did beat Untappable, but she's not a high level.
That was
level.
More of a, like, as a fluke type thing.
Exactly.
Whereas, you're right. We do have her shoes, by the way.
That's true. Yep.
That's what we're going to talk about. Greenpoint Crusader, 28-1 currently on the future wager. And this is a horse that had a lot of hype going into the Breeders' Cup. Had won the Champagne, and really had looked really well till then. Finished 7th at the Breeders' Cup.
28-1. I'm banging my head over here. That's crazy.
Because it's so good.
Because it's so terrible. So the horse wins a Grade One and over a track that was just atrocious,
which we deemed like, let's just be careful what we call any of these horses out of those races.
And I didn't give this horse any chance to win the juvenile, and it just ran terrible. I'm not saying the horse is a terrible horse, but I don't see how I could have a lot of hype. Now, you know, sloppy track, sometimes that happens in Kentucky for Saturday in May, and then, yeah, you gotta realize that he's got a shot. But, you know, that day at Belmont, that track was just so awful that it's hard to look at the results and take anybody real serious. So, you know, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't like him at all.
Let me ask you about one more that...
I've done too many.
No, I need the help. You know, I need the help for our draft. A horse that we both were very high on. And in this, talking about the Champagne, Rallis.
Oh, yeah. No, don't touch him.
Is there any... Can you explain what happened?
He's got to have...
some kind of issue,
injury,
right?
Problems, yeah.
Breathing issue, something weird.
If it's a breathing issue, they could correct that. I think he's got a soundness issue myself. I mean, he ran...
But he went from running extremely, extremely well to running extremely, extremely bad.
The Belmont race, he was in the same race as Greenpoint Crusader, and he quit. But I thought, well, the track, you know. But yeah, the juvenile, holy...
Yeah.
It was bad.
So you would draft Rallis probably 5th.
No, I think you should. I'm not going to.
I just look forward to it because I know like 4 of the 5 on your team will be Dwayne Train. So.
It's true. It's going to be a reach, though, to draft anybody this year.
It's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks and our simple plays available every day for Aqueduct, Gulfstream Park, Los Al, and Remington Park. We have best plays, value plays, race plays, Bet Mix Command Center, and products from Guaranteed Tip Sheet. There are many angles when it comes to picking winners. Let us help you find yours. We're currently covering 18 tracks, all offering free picks. Make sure you check that out. We're on Twitter at @racing_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck.
RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.